All right, hour number two underway, off and running in the nation's capital and beyond. Always live and free on the Odyssey app. Matty Ice is on the other side of the glass. I am merely the old rooster. Cock-a-doodle do to you. Little rooster on the radio action on this Victory Motown Monday. Again, you will hear from Dan Quinn with reporters at 3:30. Jay Gruden is in his normal time slot at 3 o'clock. So an hour from now, you will hear from Jay Gruden, all of his thoughts, not only about the Commanders and how maybe you might handle this week from a practice standpoint. I would assume Jaden Daniels would be very, very limited in practice. Now, it is no touch, but again, he might not even be able to throw. I have no idea. But we'll see how you handle game planning, how you kind of go. The good thing is Marcus Mariota, obviously having played a large part of yesterday's game, right? And having a similar skill set to Jaden, it's not like you have to kind of, you know, completely blow apart what you've been running and what you've been trying to do. Now, you have a much tougher opponent. The Chicago Bears, I'm telling you, man, this is going to be a game. You might want to bring an extra pair of hands to kind of cover your eyes. That's a feisty, fast, physical Bears defense. To say nothing of what Caleb Williams, the DC native, is going to bring off of a bye week with all the confidence they've built and some of their weapons to Landover this Sunday. Regardless of Jaden Daniels, this was going to be a really, really tough game. By the way, the NFL apparently is going to flex, not this Sunday, but next, Sunday, November 3rd, when the Commanders are at MetLife Stadium against the Giants, and the Giants are a mess right now, and we'll talk about that at some point. They're going to flex the Eagles and Jaguars out of Sunday night football in favor of the Colts and Vikings. So, not a bad matchup. Eagles-Jaguars, I guess that would have been the Doug Peterson reunion bowl. I don't know if that does anything for anyone, but, I mean, it is what it is. So that's that. So the Giants and the Commanders, by the way, are obviously not going. Not that I thought they would, but I thought maybe there was a possibility they could go to a 425 window or maybe a 405 window. I'm not 100% sure of. Hadn't been announced yet, so we will see. All right, let's get back to the phone calls and get you guys aboard in on the show. Let's go to Lou to start off hour number two. Then we'll get to Kevin, Ron, Telly, Alex, and everyone else in between. What's up, Lou?
Not much. What's going on, Rooster?
Lou, how are you?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. I'm still here. What's up? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. I was just asking while I choked on my Diet Sunkist, how are you twice? Sorry about that.
Can't complain, man. Beautiful Monday.
Yep. Beautiful weather out there. Big win. You got nothing to complain about, indeed. Do you, Lou?
You know, that little jab, you know, I get it. It's your job. You know, I still got left for you. That's why I call in to talk to you about every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever day it is. You know, at the end of the day, we all have an agreement and disagreement.
Yes.
You know, I think what I wanted to say was I wanted to enjoy the moment. And then, you know, whatever happens, you know, if you decide to sit, you know, this weekend, I want him to be healthy. I don't want him to come in there knowing that he's not 100% just because it's Caleb. Like, who cares about Caleb? Man, I want this guy to be healthy. I want him to be ready. And when he's 100%, I want him to play. Other than that, I wasn't trying to come at you in a disrespectful way. I don't know how you'd be putting
No, I was just, busting your chops. You know that. I mean, yeah, I got to have something to poke the bear at a little bit.
Yeah, we just wanted to enjoy the moment. You know, we just beat, you know, not beat them, but, you know, Carolina's a bad team. But at the same time, that's what we're supposed to do. We used to be a bad team. Now we turn the organization around. So we doing what they used to do us a favor. We used to be, you know, one of those teams, Carolina, just a year ago. So, you know, it's a beautiful thing what we're doing. And I just want Jaden to be 100% come, you know, Sunday, whatever day, if it's next week and 2 weeks from now, I want him to be 100%. That's all I wanted to say with you as far as that Twitter thing goes. And other than that,
referencing, you were yelling at me last night. I don't know. I was angry because I was getting it from a couple of people. I didn't realize that was you. My bad on that. I was on the way to the locker room and I was trying. I was like, wait a second. I didn't even say anything irresponsible. It's just you know how it is, right? I understand you guys all want to celebrate a win. Got it. Totally understand that. There's that part of it, but there's also, hey, man, just like in their mind, unfortunately, the NFL calendar doesn't allow you to celebrate for very long. Like, you can have a couple of hours, whatever, but here's what we do. Big game this Sunday. We got to figure out, is there any chance the kid can play? How bad is it?
Yes. Yeah, man, it's a job. That's, you're a reporter, and I totally agree with that. And, sometimes, we as a fan, sometimes we got to push back when you're poking us. That's all it was.
We just want
to enjoy that moment. Other than that, look, man, 5-2, man. We haven't been like this, and I can't remember, dude. I cannot remember. So I'm just joyful, and, I want Jaden to be 100% everybody. Whoever's heard out there, I want him to be 100%. I want your boy to 25 to turn his head once again. You see what Chris, you see number 31 for Pittsburgh? You see what he did? I mean, I don't know if I know you watched that game. See what he does, right?
Well, I got home late because obviously we have post-game work to do, and then I have an hour and a half commute back from the stadium. Are you talking about the one where Garrett Wilson doesn't catch it?
And just pretty much that like the way that like the defensive back play, man, they just aggressive. They all like what a ball is. They turn and hit around and get a turnover here and there. So that's all I'm asking 25 to do, man. Just turn and stop getting beat. And he got beat on the first play. I was like, man, this dude. But at the end of the day, I just want to enjoy this. I don't really care what that guy does from now on. But I'm sure they got a plan and they're going to address that and. Just one game at a time, man. I appreciate you taking my call, man. Have a blessed day, Chris.
All right. Thank you, Lou. Appreciate it. Good to hear from you. Yeah. If I yelled at you on Twitter last night, sorry. I mean, you guys were coming after me. And I didn't think I posted anything irresponsible at all. 211 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. We continue along with, let's go to Kevin in Virginia here. What up, Kev? How are you?
Good. Thanks, Chris, for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for making it.
First of all, why is the offensive line getting any credit? There was all the hand-wringing before the season that they're going to be weak and like last year, and they really exceeded expectations. I mean, I could have run through some of those holes yesterday they created. I know Carolina's depleted, but they held their own against the Ravens. Wiley's committing a couple of penalties here and there, but Coleman seems to have settled in, and Leno is done his job. I think Cosme's playing at an all-pro level. I mean, I know there's a lot of focus on Jaden, and he makes it easier for them because he can get out of trouble, but it seems like they haven't gotten enough credit, and whoever the offensive line coach hasn't gotten
enough that's Bobby Johnson, who I remember when they hired Bobby Johnson. A very irresponsible report was written by a blog site, just slamming the hire based on analytics and based on statistics. And it's why you often hear me shoot back about that, because what this person, this site didn't understand was that he had a ton of injuries to deal with in New York and the Giants along the offensive line. And I'm not sitting here telling you that I know every little nuance and that at some point this offensive line might fall apart because of injury or whatever. And then I guess my overall point was is when, and the Giants are finding this out again, like they lost Andrew Thomas, their stud left tackle, top five pick a couple years ago, early on last year and for like the first 7 weeks. And then there was other things like, and I don't want to go too far into the Giants, but my point being is Bobby Johnson is a longtime accomplished offensive line coach. He's not Bill Callahan per se, but he's a longtime accomplished offensive line coach. They knew what they were doing by adding him, and if they could surround him with some healthy pieces. Now, we'll see what moves forward with Brandon Coleman. Remember, he has the concussion. He was quickly ruled out, and good reason. No reason for him to play. We don't know what's going to happen with that, but Cornelius Lucas has done a solid job at left tackle. Allegretti, who I think we're going to have on the show later on this week, has done a very good job. You know, Biotish, I mean, has been great at center. I mean, I know he had the one penalty earlier. Really, the only weak spot or questionable spot is Wiley, and Wiley's played a lot better, especially run blocking. So I think they have gotten a pretty good, appropriate amount of credit. Could they get more? Absolutely.
One other quick question. Do you think the Forbes interception might have given the front office pause to keep him? I know the ball was right to him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could have caught that. But
yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, it's a great question.
It reminds him that he could maybe create some turnovers. I just wondered. I made note of that play because I thought, well, maybe that's a turnaround for him.
I mean, if you look
he's a keeper.
Right, if you look at it, right, you know, and I watched it live yesterday and on TV replay once. I have not seen it back again. But if memory serves me correct, you know, he's kind of like you know, it kind of comes like right towards him, I guess, for lack of a better description. But he's playing with his eyes and he's doing what he's got to do. And I think they were in zone defense, if I remember correctly. But again, I reserve the right to change all that once I can slow it down a little bit more. But the bottom line is he didn't drop it, right? He made the play. That's what he did at Mississippi State. That's what he was known for. That's why he was drafted in the middle of the first round. So if anything, it's a confidence booster. And if anything, it's at least a stay of execution. Now, if they could get Denzel Ward and say the Browns said, well, you know what, we'll give you Denzel Ward, you give us Emmanuel Forbes and a second-round pick or a third-round pick, you trade him in a heartbeat. But maybe it at least provides a stay of execution, and maybe it increases his value, or maybe it increases his confidence and the kid can play, you know? So we'll see.
Sometimes you need that one little break, you know, and then you turn it.
Yep.
You turn it on.
I agree. You know. Thank you, Kev. Appreciate you. Good to hear from you. No doubt. Let's go to Ronald in Greenbelt. What's up, Ron? How are you?
Call me Rooster. How you been?
What's going on, man?
I think it was a good game. Blew him out. We did what he had to do. And, you know, believe it or not, when Marcus Mariota came in, the score was only 10-0, so it still was a wonderful game for Carolina, if you think about it.
Absolutely.
So kudos to Kingsbury for implementing a game, you know, implementing something to carry on. In a game like that, you know, you run the ball, you keep it conservative, you know, don't try to put them in there. But by Mariota being a veteran, he didn't, you know, he's not afraid to take those shots.
Well, you know, I'll give you a for instance, right? Like, to your point, I mean, Mariota comes in, right, at two and change left to go in the first quarter, and he gets sacked on the second play, right? Plus, they get a false start. Plus, he overthrows De'Ami Brown. So they essentially go three and out on his first series. And then the second series, he comes out, and he's like, you know, again, he's kind of all over the place. He throws a wild one to his left flat. And I said, again, to Grant Paulson, who was sitting there, I said, If they got to play with this guy for a while, they are in trouble. But they just kept going, right? He got the oil running through the engine, something I say all the time.
He has to get into a rhythm with the O-line. And everybody has to click on one page.
Absolutely.
Once they started clicking, then the passes were there.
Right, I guess what I was trying to say was that second drive, right? And to your point, they start running the football again on that second drive that Mariota's in. Not the second drive of the game, second drive that Mariota's in. It caps off with a Brian Robinson 8-yard touchdown run. And yes, they got the defensive pass interference on the deep shot to Noah Brown and all that. I'm not saying it was all run, but the point being is that allowed him a couple of series to, again, get that oil running through the engine. And then before you know it, he's just throwing darts all over the place on that final drive before the halftime, and then it was on like Donkey Kong from there.
Because the Bears don't know who the game plan for, at least until Wednesday.
Yep.
So, you know, I think the game plan for the Bears will probably be somewhat of the same. It's just that Mario is not as elusive as Daniels. But I think he can get the ball downfield. And it all comes down to the game plan. It's going to be a big game for Kingsbury, the Bears, if Daniels doesn't play.
Yeah.
Because the Bears are an upfield rush, pass rush team. But you have to kind of keep them off balance on defense. I think we could play them toe-to-toe. It depends a lot on the defense, too.
Yeah, maybe but some traps, some draws. I mean, it's early in the week, but I've got to do a lot more studying. But to your point, yes, they're going to want to come after it, whether it's Jaden or Mariota, and Cliff's going to have to kind of slow it down and counter. And, again, some traps, maybe some delay draws, something like that, or some screens to kind of go over the top of them. Appreciate you, Ronald. Good to hear from you. There's a lot of noise going on there in the background, so I just want to keep the line going. 301-230-0980. Let's get to Telly next up. What's up, Telly? How are you? Telly, turn down your radio, brother. Telly. Telly's not paying attention. He's listening on the radio. Let's go to our guy Alex in Alexandria next up. What's up, Alex?
Hey, Bruce.
How are you, Alex?
I'm feeling good, man. You know, it's good to win after you lose your star player, so nothing changes. Hey, let's not forget that this guy, Mariota, he was playing for Atlanta not too long ago, and he was playing pretty well for Atlanta, so I don't see a much of a change except for what how the teams will approach now the Skins versus having Jaden in there, but I think he's going to be okay. He's going to have a full week of practice, because I doubt, and I'm not a doctor, but I doubt that this guy is going to play on Sunday. So let's just roll it, man. Let's roll it. We're rolling right now. We're rolling.
Alex, I can't say I doubt, but I'm certainly skeptical, just from a realistic common sense standpoint. And to your point, Mariota, who obviously did not get a full share of reps, is going to get a lot more reps, if not all of the reps or most of the reps this week. And with playing almost, you know, an entire game yesterday and, you know, the last 12 minutes or so of the Cleveland game, you feel like, okay, at least he's had, you know, some ability to catch up. Because remember, he missed half of training camp.
Yesterday.
The entire preseason and the first four games, you know?
What I wanted to say is, wow, what a difference, man. So you get rid of the cancer, and our team is back. It's a great feeling to lead the league in scoring. It never happened. I don't remember when was the last time this team scored 40-some points. But anyway, hell to the Skins.
Yeah, there you go. Appreciate you, Alex. Thank you. They had the biggest lead at halftime since 2005. And it could have been more. You know, I keep saying this each and every Monday. Well, maybe with the exception of, even last Monday. They left a lot of points on the table last Monday. But each and every Monday, man, if they could have done one or two things better, different, what have you, they could have scored even more points. And this is the fourth time this year that they've scored 34 or more points. And again, they have 211 offensive points. That's not total points. I mean, it's 211 offensive points. It's like 40-some-odd more points than either Tampa Bay or Baltimore, who will obviously add to their totals tonight. But barring Tampa Bay or Baltimore scoring like 45-plus offensive points, they're going to lead the NFL in that category again after week 7. Again, accolades are just what they're worth, written on paper. But it just remains, you know, you know what? I'm going to save the point for the other side. I'll get to this on the other side because I don't think I've mentioned this yet. Take a break. We'll get back to more of your calls. 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, good to have you with us. 226 and change right here on the Team 980. On a victory Motown Monday, the Commanders in the win column for a fifth time this year And in case, again, you haven't been paying attention, I seem to be the only one that cares about this based on anybody just, like, responding and noting it. Maybe I've missed it. Again, they won four games all of last year. Not only did they win four games of all of last year, but they were 2-0, right? They won two out of their final 15 games. They won four total, and they started 2-0. And in week seven, they now have won five games, more games than they won all of last year. And that, again, that was with a 2-0 start. That's how dreadful last year became. And that's how meteoric the change has been this year. One thing I wanted to address just real quickly, and then we'll get back to the calls. Like, you know it's a different culture. You know it's a different world. You know it's a different year, different organization, everything. When this team not only takes bad opponents seriously, Arizona, Cleveland, Cincinnati, you know, you want to say they were a bad opponent, 0-2. I don't think they were a bad opponent, but you get the point. Cleveland, Arizona, Carolina yesterday. And not only takes them seriously that they win, but they demolish them. They demolish them. With a backup quarterback, no less. They demolish them. Like, when was the last time we could say, hey, man, they handled adversity pretty well, right? I mean, they've done that in the past. But, you know, then they eked out a 17-14 win against, I don't know, the terrible Jacksonville Jaguars. And we were all like, whew, somehow they won. They're going out and winning by, again, 33 points. And it could have been worse. All right, let's get back to the calls right here on the Team 980. Let's get to Rudy and Glen Burnie. What's up, Rudy? How are you?
Hey, Chris. I acknowledge you on today. Look,
my
Chris,
man,
you are waiting for the other shoe to drop. That's what it seems like to me. You wait for we were this before, but you waiting for that thing to happen again, you know. But the thing I would say is different this time is that we're beating the teams that we're supposed to beat. You know, if they come in and they have people hurt and everything else, we're demolishing them.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Yeah, last year we wouldn't do that. Year
no, I agree. I agree.
We would play down to the other. We would play down to the opposition, whoever was coming in, and we would make them look like all-stars when they left.
Yeah, I agree.
So,
okay. I mean, here's the thing, Rudy. People get all over me because they think I hate, because they think I'm negative. I'm allowed to have reasonable concerns, right? I'm allowed to kind of wonder whether everything is what it seems, right? Just because Jaden Daniels' mom texts something, that does not mean he's going to play. That does not mean he's going to play and that everything's Shangri-La and everything's 100%. So that's my only point is, you know, like, people get mad at me because I'm skeptical or because I'm ruining their celebration. Oh, that's not my job. My job is to point out common sensible things that we could be dealing with. And we still haven't heard anything from Dan Quinn. Maybe we'll get more clarity at 3:30, and that'll stop a lot of this. But expect that to go on until Jaden Daniels not only comes back to play, but until he makes it through at least a full game.
Okay, Chris, well, what's the difference between Jaden and Mariota? Is it the arm strength? I know they were doing practically the same thing that they usually
yeah.
do. He was going to be running with the ball and everything.
Right,
else.
Right. For me, Jaden does have a stronger arm. I believe that. But the other part of it is Jaden, even though he got sacked you know, and pressured a lot at LSU and certainly has some here. I think Jaden has a better sense of the pocket, a better feel for timing, anticipation. That's always been one of Mariota's biggest issues. To me, Mariota is a great play extender, and you saw it yesterday, and you've seen it throughout his career. I got it. He's mobile. He's athletic. I'm not saying he's a weak noodle arm, but he's, you know, he doesn't have a strong arm by any means. But to me, I think it's anticipation in the pocket area, between the tackles, where Jaden seems to be able to process and get rid of the ball and anticipate throwing the ball quicker than Marcus Mariota does. That's me.
All right, last thing, Chris. This, now, you'll see if, when you watch the game back, you'll see when Jaden goes on that 48-yard or 45-yard
Oh, I've seen that,
run,
yeah. Yeah.
That he sees the defensive back on his left-hand side.
Yep.
He pushes him off.
Yep.
But he doesn't see the linebacker coming from behind him.
Yep.
And this is why he got his,
and that's where he goes down awkwardly. Yeah, and I have seen it obviously a number of times. And I think he was trying to get down too, and he kind of tumbles over and almost does. I don't know if it's a somersault, but it's a just a weird, awkward tumble.
That's what it looked like.
Yeah, as he's going down, no doubt about it. Appreciate you, Rudy. Good to hear from you. We will get to Telly. We'll get to Paulie. We'll get to you. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 on this victory. Motown Monday in the nation's capital. The Commanders 5-2, first place again in the NFC East, rocking and rolling. Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears coming to Northwest Stadium this Sunday at 4:25. First, a trending alert, and then more to do on the other side. All right, we will hear from Dan Quinn in now less than an hour right here on the Team 980 as he will address reporters and hopefully give us a little bit more of a timeline update, what have you, on Jaden Daniels. The latest from Jordan Schultz is that he was undergoing more tests, as was expected. And again, we will see what the Commanders have learned, if anything, at 3:30 right here on the Team 980. Meanwhile, around the NFL, an MRI confirming that indeed Deshaun Watson tore his Achilles. He's done for the year. As well, the starting quarterback, Aiden O'Connell, for the Las Vegas Raiders, did break his thumb. He's on IR 4 to 6 weeks. And how about this? Tua, as expected, Tagovailoa is set to return to practice on Wednesday. The Dolphins are hoping that he'll be able to play this Sunday against the Arizona Cardinals. Speaking of the Arizona Cardinals, they're on the Team 980 tonight and the Odyssey app on the second game of Monday Night Football, which begins at 9 o'clock Eastern time. And that game is not on regular TV. It's on that ESPN Plus thingy. On regular Monday Night Football, 8:15 the kickoff. It's the Baltimore Ravens and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 2-4-2 teams. But again, the Chargers in Arizona, a game that is here on the Team 980 as the second part of the dual Monday Nighter. And that's what's trending.
In the second period, as we get a penalty up here, and they score! Alex Ovechkin gets his first goal of the season on a delayed penalty against New Jersey. It dribbles off the pads of Markstrom and in from the top of the goal crease. The great eight is on the board, and the march for 895 is on. It's 3-1, Washington.
Yes, John Walton, Caps Radio Network. That's goal number 854 on his brilliant career. That means he's 40 away from tying Wayne Gretzky, 41 away from breaking the all-time goal-leading mark. And as we have done for the last year plus, our friends at Main Street Bank making sure to bring that to you, Alex Ovechkin. Again, brought to you by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. It was one of the weirdest goals that Alex is ever going to score. You heard John mention 3-1 and it dribbled in. It was a shot from like the faceoff circle by John Carlson. And I kind of hesitate to call it a deflection because he kind of swung at it, but he swung at it, and it like goes directly up in the air over the defender, over the goaltender, and it dribbles in. I mean, it was just one of the weirdest goals that he's ever scored. Got to be, right? I mean, but he'll take it. You got to have some fortune, right? You got to have some luck. And, you know, I mean, more importantly, the Capitals, now they blew a 3-1 lead. They had to win it in overtime. But Tom Wilson has 5 goals in 4 games, including 2 Saturday night, including the game winner, right? And now you get Ovi going. You're in Philadelphia tomorrow night. Capitals are 3-1 after a snoozer to open the year against New Jersey. They've now won 3 in a row, including beating a couple of undefeated teams, as we told you last week. So that is a really, really good sign. Caps and the Flyers tomorrow night in Philly over on 106.7, the Fan. For whatever reason, I think they have an early start in that. Oh, you know what it is? The NHL and ESPN is doing their whip-around thing where all teams are in action. So the Capitals and the Flyers actually start at like 6 o'clock tomorrow night. So 5:45 the pregame, so for whatever that's worth. Again, thanks to our friends at Main Street Bank. All right, back to the calls we go. You're going to hear from Ben Sinnott here before the top of the hour. Let's get to Telly in D.C. What's up, Telly? How are you?
Hello to the Redskins. Chris Hussle, what's poppin'?
Telly, how are you, baby?
All right, man. I want, first and foremost, I want to give shout out to the coaching staff to continue to put their pedal on the metal and not be complacent because they was up. They kept on going. And like what Doc always speak about, man, when a man goes down, it's next man up. If you have a system, a bona fide system that's actually working, it's plug and play. So if someone goes down, next man up, you continue the system, mm-hmm. which is why I have a real big problem with the L last week. I'm not a fan, and I would never be a fan of taking L's, being a loser to and another opponent who we think is superior. No. Now, I will take a learning experience from that, but just because B-Rob goes down, you continue to run that rock. That is becoming and is the staple of this team, and that's your strong point. So you continue to build on that. And if we're third in rushing yards as right now, I want to be first. Hell to the Redskins. You be easy, brother.
All right. Thank you, Tell. Appreciate you. Good to hear from you. All right. Here he is. He was one of them yelling at me. Let's see if he's calmed down. What's up, Paulie?
Captain Obvious. Hail to the W, man. I ain't never
Captain
called,
Obvious.
Bro.
Right.
Captain Obvious.
Yeah, brother. Because I had the audacity to point out that there may be something here that we're not thinking of and that he may be in pain when throwing, even if he doesn't have a broken rib, right? Captain Obvious, sure.
Right, you didn't point out nothing anybody else didn't already know.
Well, except for the hundreds of people that were not saying that at all, that were just running around going, oh, thank God he doesn't have a broken rib. Thank God he doesn't have a broken rib. That means he's fine.
Right, because you know, a broken rib is different from a strain. Right, listen, if he had a broken rib, he wouldn't have been on the sideline, bro. If he had a broken rib, he wouldn't be moving around like he was moving around. So we were just trying to see the silver lining in an unfortunate situation. But you had to point out the obvious, which we all knew anyway, because that's what you do. You sell your wolf tickets.
Right.
And so that's your MO.
Yeah.
It's all good. All right? But that ain't what I call to talk about. Like, I'm going to use a term from Kevin Sheehan because I love it. I ain't going to break my arm, pat myself on the back. But I told y'all when y'all was crushing Mariota all summer, from the point we signed them all summer, you and the big gravy, y'all was crushing.
Well, wait a second. Here's what I said. I have never been a big Marcus Mariota guy. I have never been a big Marcus Mariota guy. He holds onto the damn ball too long. He gets hurt a lot, what have you. That being said, Linnell was the one calling him a terrible person, terrible teammate, quitter, this, that, and the other thing. I was never anything more than honest about Marcus Mariota, which is what anyone in the NFL would tell you.
No. That's a lie. Linnell did go overboard, but you was right there on the train.
No.
All right? You wasn't driving it, but you was
incorrect.
I'm correct. Because I got into an argument with the both of y'all about him, and the point I made was, he is a good backup for Jaden Daniels.
I said that he wasn't a good backup. I'm just trying to clarify. I said he wasn't a good backup.
You said you would rather have kept Sam Howell. That was your.
Yeah, I would have rather have. Hang on a second. Did you not? I said I would have liked for them to keep Sam Howell as a third quarterback or as a backup to compete with Marcus Mariota, who always gets hurt.
You said the backup quarterback.
Okay.
Listen, I said, we're not bringing him in to start 17 games.
Yeah. But now, Marcus Mariota never gets hurt, right? He never gets hurt, sir.
God,
nothing to worry
man.
About.
You going to let me talk? This is what you do. Mm-hmm. You're scared of the truth.
Well, that's what you do is you come on making all sorts of reckless accusations and then expect me to just lay down
I said from what y'all said. And what I said was we're not bringing him in for 17 games.
It doesn't matter.
If we talk about 17 games, I'm with y'all 100%. But we talking about to play a game here and there, to finish a game or whatever, he's fine. You know what he is? He's a professional college quarterback. He said it himself at the press conference. He likes the design runs. It gets him into the game. Right. I agree with you. His weakness is he doesn't anticipate well. He doesn't do all that. But what he is a gamer. Right? So he's like Heineke with a stronger arm. That's what it is. And I said that's good. Heineke is fine for a backup. For a couple of quarters. That's all I was trying to say about Mariota, but everybody was crushing him and killing him. Like, if he ever touched the field, my God, the sky is going to fall. The earth is done. That's how everybody was acting, you included. Now, I agree with you. And Pat, I like this team. Because in the past, what would happen is, if that would have happened to us in the past, we losing the game 23-17. You know what I mean? But the fact that we went out there and we kept moving and shaking, man. I tip my cap to the players. I tip my cap to Dan Quinn. And I'm going to say this something about Mariota said yesterday, too. They asked him what was the difference. He's like, we just like being around each other. We really have a brotherhood here. And that says a lot about what Dan Quinn and Adam Peters said in the offseason about the type of football players they was looking for. And they brought in 30-something new players. So, really, it's probably about 40 new players on this team. And for that team to come together, I know Jaden has a lot to do with that, but still, for that team to be able to gel together like that just early on with that many people, it says that they really hit the mark on the type of players they want, not just on the field, but their characteristics off the field, too.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give them credit for that one, man. Y'all have a great afternoon. Hail to the W. Captain Obvious, man. Get out of here. They trying to hit you.
So let me just say this, okay? Again, I would be less than honest if I said I've never been a Marcus Mariota guy. I remember doing a three-game tape breakdown as a non-scout in 2014 when he was coming out in the draft, and a Redskins scout walked into my studio at Redskins Park and said, "You are absolutely right on." And I was talking about how Mariota would hold on to the ball too long, was an injury risk, blah, 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 blah. Didn't see things, what have you. Okay? I've never been a Marcus Mariota guy. He's had moments. He will have moments. He will have moments of good. He will have some sustained moments. He will have some moments of bad. Do I want him playing long term? Absolutely not. But this notion that I didn't want him as the backup quarterback, no. Would I have preferred them to keep Sam Howell as a third quarterback? You want to add Marcus Mariota because he's a veteran? Because Brian Johnson's worked with him in Philadelphia? Because they think they can help? Of course. Nobody said anything of the sort. I just said keep Sam Howell as the third quarterback. They said, no, we're going to, you know, swap picks with Seattle. We're going to get rid of Sam Howell. We're going to blame him for, you know, whatever we're going to blame him for, and we're going to bring in Jeff Driskel. Okay, fine. Fine. They know more than I do. This notion that I hated Marcus Mariota or... No, Linnell, again, wanted to fry Marcus Mariota's ass because he allegedly quit on his teammates in Atlanta. Now, listen, that did not come off looking good for Marcus Mariota. But everyone you talk to, Marcus Mariota's a good dude. Great teammate. Popular. Good influence on Jaden. Can he play? Yeah, he can play. Is he similar to Jaden? Yes. But this notion also that because you're not asking him to play 17 games, that it's no problem. He got crushed on a run yesterday where I thought he was going to have to come out of that game initially. And that Driskel was going to have to finish up as the third emergency quarterback. Mariota's gotten hurt for a living. That was part of my concern, and it's already been realized, just like it was with Jaden. 301-230-0980. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back and finish up the phone calls. And Jay Gruden joins us just after 3 o'clock. You'll hear from Dan Quinn as well at 3:30 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, we approach 3 o'clock in the nation's capital. Jay Gruden coming up after the top of the hour. But last night, after the Commanders' 40-7 win over the Carolina Panthers and after his first NFL touchdown, had a chance to catch up with Commanders tight end rookie Ben Sinnott. Here you go.
All right, so first target, first catch, first touchdown, first everything. Felt pretty good, huh?
Yeah, it felt great. I've been kind of hoping it for a little bit, just putting in the work, waiting for my opportunity to come. So when it did, I just took advantage of it. It's pretty cool to have your first NFL catch be a touchdown.
Everybody's seen your blocking, your special teams play. I mean, do you think that just kind of grinded away on that, earned you this little extra opportunity here?
Yeah, I think so. You always have the run game, being able to set up your pass game. So just being able to be out there and have the defense think it's run and throw a pass. So I think it definitely helps to being able to contribute in all the different ways. So.
And that's because – oh, sorry.
So when you lose five and you don't flinch, what does that say about this squad?
Yeah, I mean, this is a tight-knit group. It's a next-man-up mentality, and we have full faith in whoever's back there. So having Marcus be able to step in and show us what he can do and keep the offense running smoothly, it just shows the love we have for each other and the chemistry that we have in the locker room.
You mentioned the defense was thinking run. That's obviously because you run play action and you're scraping across the formation. The way Cliff uses you guys constantly, you know, the motion, the jet sweeps, all that stuff. How important is that and how much easier does that make it to, again, sell run and get pass?
Yeah, I mean, it sets up everything. You have specific run plays that are designed to give a defense a certain look and then you throw a pass off it the next time. So it's super important. So I'm really excited to see what we can do.
Did you get that ball?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I forgot about it initially. I kind of threw it down and didn't even think about it. Just celebrating with my teammates. And then I think someone ran it over to me on the sidelines. They're like, what are you thinking? But they got it for me.
Got a special place for it?
Yeah. I'll keep it in my room. I'm kind of starting to build a little collection now. So got my gloves as well. So we'll see. Hopefully many more to come.
One last thing for me. Last year, this team won 4 games all year. You guys just won your 5th win. I know it's a completely different team, but just from your perspective, how cool is it to be a part of this organization right now?
I mean, it's awesome. It's such a blessing to be a part of this organization and being able to go out and tackle these guys. And I mean, we feel the support from the fans each and every day, and we're really excited to see what we can do and how the rest of the season is going to go.
And actually, one more. I think with you and Zach both scoring touchdowns, it's the first time two Commanders, Washington NFL players, scored a touchdown in the same game since 2013. So a little bit of team history.
That's cool.
That's pretty cool, right? This tight end room, you, Bates, I mean, Pretty good group, right?
Oh, 100%. We got a lot of different guys who can do a ton of different stuff, so it makes it really fun to see what Cliff's going to do and to see the initial game plan pop up during the early week. So it's pretty cool, man. We got a lot of guys who are talented, and we're going to just continue to use this. So I'm excited.
Thanks, Ben. Congratulations.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Thank you. All right, thanks to Ben Sinnott. There you heard Mr. Chick poke his way in there for Jaden Daniels' question. And I said, Mr. Chick, I'm trying to get him for a one-on-one. Not in the locker room. Always busting my chops.
I would have cut it out if it wasn't a good question.
It was a good question. You shouldn't. Yeah, you did. You made the right call. I mean, it was mostly a one-on-one, but it wasn't a pure one-on-one, as the kids like to say. But either way, and I like to tease Mr. Chick because he likes to tease me back. He did a great job, by the way, as the halftime MC. I don't know if you saw the ceremony, if you ducked out during halftime, Maddie, as they retired the number 28 of Daryl Green. All right, so thanks to Ben Sinnott for that. We hope to have Nick Allegretti on later on in the week, either Wednesday or Thursday, working on confirming a time for that. Jay Gruden is coming up next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.